Welcome to the Broad Pod, just a couple of broads interviewing inspiring women.
I'm Becca.
And I'm Jackie.
Let's get inspired together. Don't forget to stay tuned at the end of the episode for a special surprise for our guest. And thank you to WKWC for allowing us to use their podcast studio.
When this comes out, I think March Madness will be.
Yeah, it should be. Usually the hype up. Usually the tournament, like the Final Four, is like the first weekend in April, typically, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's ramping up for sure.
So, SEC tournament is probably coming up in like a week or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
in Nashville. And yeah. Zach, I'm sure we'll be going to that.
Well, and currently,
yeah,
I think I saw this morning, Carolina is like number 3 or 4 in the polls. And I think Kentucky's 6, 7, or 8.
Wow.
It's probably switched by the time this episode comes out, because Carolina is very inconsistent this year. And so is Kentucky, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's why I try not to talk too much crap anytime that Kentucky loses, because I'm I don't really have a leg to stand on, because tomorrow we could lose to like the last team in the ACC or something. But
yeah.
It is fun. Listen, you could stick me in a room with 100 Duke fans and I'd rather be there than in a room with one standard UK fan.
A standard UK fan?
I'm just telling you, like when I moved here, like I lived in like the heart of like what I consider the greatest rivalry in college
That's
basketball.
That's rough for a lot of our listeners to hear that.
But I mean, you just, you know, look at the information. But anyway, and so I thought, okay, UK, whatever. And then I was like, oh my God, no, these people are crazy. I went to B-Dubs just once with Peggy, who we work with here, and who's just a good friend of mine. And like they were chanting, they were proving to everybody that they could spell cats. I was really proud of them.
Yeah,
and like while I was trying to eat my wings, and I was like, okay, these people are literally crazy and I don't like them and they're very mean.
Oh.
I was there once, I don't y'all probably don't remember, it was a few years ago. Like Carolina lost the national championship game like right in the last couple of seconds.
Ooh,
I can't remember if it was Gonzaga or like Villanova.
Yeah.
And it was like the most heartbreaking thing. And those people were so cruel to me.
Aww.
I just wanted to go home and cry over basketball because that's who I am. But yeah.
That's funny.
Anyway.
So yeah, we both have insane UK fan husbands that we have to deal with.
Really annoying.
And it annoys us in different ways.
Yes. Does Zach like yell at the refs? Is he like that kind of person?
Yeah. He's had to like chill it out a little bit with the girls, you know, whenever they're around.
Oh, that's nice that he's doing that, because my husband is not doing that. He has taught our friend to yell. Like our son will yell at the TV, bad at the refs.
No.
And I'm like, oh, well, that's.
It is so funny. It brings back memories, because my dad was a huge, I mean, I say was, he is living. However, he's not actually a huge UK fan anymore. He is a fan, but like not quite as insane as he was then. He kind of like roots for like Kentucky teams in general, which is cool. So when I was young, he would also yell at the TV. He didn't like curse or anything. And I would always be like, Dad, they can't hear you. And it's so funny because Channing says the exact same thing. It must be like a daughter daddy thing, because I said the same thing. I was like, Daddy, care. And she does that. It's so adorable. I'm like, that's exactly what I said. Yeah. So she keeps him in check. But yeah, he gets very angry. It changes his whole
I can't say a whole a lot, to be honest with you. I'm just as bad.
Relate.
Like I've literally cried over basketball games, and I will admit that publicly.
Yes.
But we went, and that's going to be relevant. We went to a KWC women's basketball game just recently.
Yeah.
And we were like, I don't know if y'all weren't paying attention to the game, Nicole, but like we were right behind the bench, and like Matt was like yelling at the refs, and I was like, we work here. You need to behave. And then Asher was doing the bad. And I was like, oh, I'm not to die.
The passion.
Yeah. But I will say KWC women's basketball is like relevant to Asher's story with us. And Nicole might remember this, when we went down in November of 2021 to meet Asher's birth mother for the first time, right after she had picked us. It was in Lakeland, Florida, which is where she lives. And while we were down there, it just happened to be that the KWC women's basketball team was down there playing. Was it a tournament? I think y'all were playing.
No way.
So we were able, like, on the way to the airport to stop by and see them, like, as their game was starting
that
and
is
stuff.
Wild.
But it was sort of, it was just like a neat thing.
Yeah, that was definitely
And then his first basketball game was last year when they played IU. We got to go and see, what is the name of that Is that, that's not Allen Fieldhouse. What is that? Whatever, that place. Yeah. The place where IU plays. It was that like, place. It's like historical.
Yes,
it was
place.
Really neat, but that was cool. So anyway. All right, that leads us to our special guest today, tonight, you know, whenever you're listening to this magical episode. So we have the KWC Women's co-head coach, the one and only Nicole Niemann here with us. So welcome, Boo.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the invite. Definitely excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you. So we're gonna dive right into the icebreakers.
Yeah,
so
let's do it.
Jackie, okay. Take it away.
All right. So, Nicole, what are the top three items on your bucket list?
Oh, man. I tell you, when you guys sent me these questions, I was like, I really haven't even thought about a bucket list. Oh, wow. I haven't thought about the end of my life or if I just don't dream enough. I don't... for sure, you know, our daughter's really into soccer. So if we could take her to a World Cup game,
wow,
that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one of those things. Definitely want to live in a van someday.
Really?
Cool. I like that.
Sounds weird, but no. Really like the simple life, really like hiking. Just want to kind of get rid of everything and be able to just go be us and
that's awesome.
Do whatever we want, you know, unhook from the technology and just kind of be. So yeah. That's definitely something. And then probably I really want to get to an Alaska cruise.
Ooh,
that's funny. That's on my parents' bucket list, and so they keep trying to get me and Matt to like book an Alaska cruise. We're just waiting for Asher to grow up. or you know what I mean? Because they're sort of like who we would leave him with if we went on a vacation. So
sure.
I don't want to. Anyway,
yeah.
But yeah, it's just it seems so beautiful up there.
Yeah.
And then you know,
I'd say that's the way to see it.
Yes,
you don't want to drive it. It's like you know, it's way too big of a country.
Yeah,
yeah, I know it's a state, but like just that country up there is just huge.
So, yeah,
yeah.
To be able to see it by boat, they say is a great way to do it. So.
And then you can do like the excursions or whatever, like when they stop, like get off and do it. And then always a big cruise advocate because you get to see lots of places, but you don't have to change or like pack your bags.
Right.
So
let me ask this about cruises. If you're a nauseous person, naturally, is it a problem?
Like a motion sick person?
Horribly.
I have a friend who gets motion sick a lot and she just does the patches and says that helps.
And it works.
I think probably.
My husband is claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
and he gets motion sickness.
Yeah.
We went on a cruise a few years ago and we had to have a room that had a patio or a deck or whatever so he could get out.
Okay. Yeah. Some
out.
Air.
Yeah. He couldn't get one of those down below under the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too much for him. But
yeah.
He did really good. He just took the Dramamine.
Okay.
The first day.
And he wasn't passed out?
Nope.
Because that felt like makes me a little sleepy.
It took him a while to adjust, maybe. Yeah.
That's good to know. So, like, just a little bit can help.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
And then we had, like, little ginger pills.
Yes.
If we needed them.
Yeah.
And that was fine. Yeah.
Good. That's good to know because I think that would be really fun, but I just do not want to be, like, a bummer.
Yeah.
All right, so... What show is your biggest guilty pleasure?
Yeah, again, just having to think through these. We watch a lot of sports, so it's kind of a ridiculous one, but it's one that's totally off topic. Virgin River.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, it's
I
so good!
That
it's
for
like
a while.
Mindless
it's
romance.
So, yeah, like, and it's so poorly acted. It's not really that great, but it's so like way off of what we do or what we're about, and so it's just. And I make him watch it. He gets mad at me. He's like, "I'm not watching." I said, "Hey, we can
and
do
he does.
This." Yeah, he does.
That's
he does.
So great.
But,
I started watching that for a while and really liked it, but then I kind of it lost me. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like Grey's Anatomy or something. It gets to be like, there's
too
many episodes.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't know if I can catch up. But like, is it getting weird or is it like, is it okay? Are you still enjoying it?
Still enjoying it. There's not a season right now. So it's like an in-between right now.
Okay,
but,
gotcha.
It's so ridiculous. But
yeah,
it's like, okay, we can totally mindlessly not think about anything and just watch it.
So are the two... main characters still together?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Good.
So far.
I mean, I liked
and there is.
Together.
There's a lot of different stories, and you never know which way they're going to go.
A lot of people are pregnant.
Yes.
Like, whose baby are they pregnant with?
Yep. Girlfriend.
The hairdresser's been pregnant for like three seasons.
No
I'm
way.
Like, how long of a time
she
span
hasn't had
is
the baby
one
yet?
Babies.
Yeah, it's
oh,
babies. Twins.
I think maybe I did know that. It's been a while.
Girl.
I really liked it.
It's very dramatic, but I like
it. It is. It's very soap opera.
Yes.
I think the lead guy is super handsome. the long hair. Yeah, I like him. Yeah.
It's sort of like adult Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. There you
because
go.
It's just like ridiculous drama. Yeah, it is. But
it's ridiculous.
Crime, still draws love. Me
in. Yeah. Somebody gets shot. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I love it.
All right. It takes place in the woods and, yeah, you know, like cabins and outdoorsy totally stuff. So.
Very cool. All right. So who would you want to play you in a movie about your life, and what would the name of the movie be?
Yeah.
I don't
have a good answer for this one. Okay. I'll tell you the truth. I Googled. I'm like, actresses. Because that's how little I know about anything as far as the movies are concerned. But the one that came up to me, and the only one that I would know is Jessica Biel. And it's just
perfect.
Because
that's
she is married to Justin Timberlake.
Yes!
And I think that would be a really cool marriage.
I support it.
So that would be it. What the name of it would be is who knows. Probably something boring. Farm Girl or something. I don't know. Just monotony, nothing big, no big deal, no big stories, no nothing. So.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I find that very hard to believe.
Seriously.
To be honest with you. Are you a big Justin Timberlake fan?
I just think he's so talented. Yeah. I mean, from the way he can act to the way he can sing, and I just think he's super.
He has a new song coming
out.
By the time this comes out, it will come out.
But
I think it's
in a couple days, I think.
It's coming out on the 25th of January, which is
now, see,
tomorrow.
You would know way more than I do.
I know. Well, he did last week, and I'm dating this, but like last week, he did a like last minute live show in Memphis, and there were it was in like a small theater, limited tickets. Like old me, younger me would have been like all
You'd
about like
there.
I'm gonna go camp out outside and whatnot, because I was huge. Like in my office, I have a Justin Timberlake marionette from his NSYNC days. I have a bobblehead. I have a cutout. The year that recently he did the like not recently it's been like 5 or 6 years at least.
Right.
He did the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yep.
And I took advantage of that as the dean of students. I was like, well, we're hosting a Super Bowl party on campus.
Of course.
I have to order a Justin Timberlake cardboard cutout to help advertise that.
And
so now it's in my office.
There you go.
So good.
Yeah, well, you're way more into him than I am, but I definitely enjoy his talents.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous of Jessica Biel, but it's all right. Okay, so I have worked with you for almost 10 years now, but I don't know a lot about your like background. How'd you get here, Nicole? Like, tell us about who you are behind the scenes.
It is a crazy story. Well, Caleb, my husband, and I did not think we could have kids.
Okay.
So we actually had 3 miscarriages up in Michigan. We were both teachers. We were both settled. Like, this is what we're going to do. And then we just felt like, okay, God doesn't want us to have kids, so let's go do something crazy. And so then we started applying to be coaches across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And happened to fall into this place. Really came down for one assistant job. So 2 of us for one job. Lived in the dorms.
Oh, wow.
Yep. No way.
Because, again, we didn't think we could have kids, so it's just us. We'll just take care of ourselves, figure it out.
Yeah. Were you resident directors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Peoples.
Okay.
And so, anyways, moved down here and did that. And then within the first few months or whatever, got pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah. Doctor tried something new down here. So, you know, I don't know if it's the Kentucky magic or what, but
it's the water and Peoples. I don't know.
So actually had to take shots twice a day for my pregnancy to hold on to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And we're lucky enough to be able to have a kid and got a job. The head coach decided to leave. Luckily enough, we had a great administration that probably saw me 9 months pregnant, felt bad for me, and said, "Well, we'll let you guys have the job." You know, so that's how we kind of fell into the position. So
okay,
it's definitely a godsend story.
And who was the head coach that y'all had worked under?
Ron Williams,
whose daughter Elizabeth Williams was actually a guest.
Just a guest.
Oh, really?
She has this lemonade, but she's really impressive.
Yeah,
in pharmacy school.
Yeah,
yep. I think there's a connection.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Yep.
Was it heparin that you were taking guys
today?
Because that's
twice
what I'm on.
Oh, really?
I have to do the same thing to stay pregnant. And
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm on that
right now. A shot twice a day?
Yep. And I've had to do it for all 3 kiddos.
All 3 of them.
So.
Oh, wow. Yep.
And you had to do it for the entirety of the pregnancy, right?
Yeah. Did you get tested? And were you?
I didn't.
Okay.
And the first doctor that treated me, I don't know I'm assuming this is true, but he said the test to do it was like intensive or something. Mm. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Yep.
And he was like, so would you like to just do it and see if it works? And I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Cause maybe like insurance might not cover it or something
right,
like that.
Right, right.
So I did not get tested. We just did it and it worked
yep.
like after three tries.
Right.
So then every other time I've tried to get pregnant, I've
just
done
do it.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah. They did the same thing. So
what?
When I was pregnant, the doctor said, we can just try it. It's not going to harm anything. It's
yeah.
not going to do anything.
Yeah.
It can only help.
It can only help if
yeah.
it's going to work, you know?
Yeah.
So we did it and it worked.
Yeah.
But
same.
After we had Lily, they actually tested me
did they?
And
okay.
I was negative.
Ah,
so they said that it
wild.
Shouldn't have worked, but, huh. but it did. So
what does heparin do? I don't know.
Blood flow. Helps
it's a blood thinner.
Yeah.
So they say that your body attacks itself. So when you're creating a human, they say that it attacks itself, so it wants to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Oh. So with this heparin, it helps it from doing that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I don't
crazy.
Know. I mean, I've never been tested.
Do you have to do shots?
I do shots twice a day in my stomach.
Do you do it yourself?
I do.
Oh man, I couldn't do it myself.
Did Caleb do the shots?
Really?
Do you ice up?
No.
Oh, man, I had to ice up everything. You're way tougher than I am.
Morning,
oh,
night, it's just like, it's like brushing my teeth.
It's just like what you do. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
This has been interesting, like one of the podcast, like how many women
yes.
have struggled,
have had
yes.
issues getting mm-hmm. pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at two of
ones
them right
we
here,
didn't know, we weren't aware of.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't even know that that was a part of
yeah.
your story, to
yeah.
be honest
yeah.
with you.
That's wild.
But I'm glad there's like more awareness of that stuff.
Well, and then like for us, because we had three miscarriages. So on the third one, they finally tested it. And they said that we wouldn't be able to have kids,
wow.
you know, so,
yeah.
so to, you know, like, you never know,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
so doctors think they tell you can't.
Yeah, they're
and
just
then,
operating off the information
right,
that they
have.
Yeah.
yeah. So it's crazy.
So were y'all, what kind of teachers?
I was special education teacher, middle school.
Okay.
He was PE teacher.
Had y'all played cool. basketball?
I played, but okay. he played in high school, but I played at college.
Okay.
Had a terrible experience.
Really?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. So I think that's helped me in what we're doing now. Like, it's really allowed me to be hopefully anyways a better human, a better coach, because our coaches just didn't treat us well. There's
Aww.
A lot of girls that ended up quitting, you know, not liking
yeah.
it, things like that. So
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, so hopefully I think that was part of the story, though.
Yeah,
help me out.
So y'all are co-head coaches,
yeah.
which is a model I haven't seen before. So how did that come about? Like, how did they not just name one of you head
yeah.
coach and the other assistant? What did that look like?
Yeah, well, the crazy thing is when we got married at 21, and we're high school sweethearts.
Nice.
When we got our first job was that I was doing a middle school fifth grade Catholic lead. There was only 12 girls in the fifth grade, and we had them all on the basketball team.
Wow!
So we just started doing it. It wasn't something that we thought we would do. It was
yeah.
just something that we did. And of course, it was volunteer and all that kind of stuff. But then when we became teachers, there was positions open for coaches in the middle school and things like that. So it was just something that we always have done together.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we came here, they wanted me to be the head coach or whatever, because I'm female or whatever.
Yeah.
And it just, to us, it just works better that we're considered both the head coaches, because it works better just as far as the team is concerned. You know, there isn't somebody's here and somebody's there. It's like we're equals.
Yeah.
And so it's just always worked better for us to kind of really present our program like a family. You know,
yeah.
we work together on those things. So.
So how many seasons, like how many years have y'all been the head coaches?
This is our 14th year.
Wow.
As co-head coaches here. Yeah, it's been
yeah.
a long time.
It's like the Neiman women's basketball program at this point. In fact, if you go, because yesterday I was looking on the KWC like women's basketball site, it's like the Neiman difference or something
yeah.
and listed out,
That's
which
awesome.
I got some fun stats from that, to be honest with you. So you and Caleb are the only active NCAA Division II women's basketball coaches.
It needs to be updated. 13 years.
To secure 13 consecutive winning seasons with the same institution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's crazy. In
yeah.
all of D2, how many D2
yeah.
schools are there?
So, like 290.
Yeah, you know, just 290.
No,
and they're
no
the only ones. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, a lot of, I mean, it's twofold. Like, a lot of people don't stay this long.
Yeah.
You know, coaching is just a tough industry as far as being able to stay.
Yeah.
So that's probably the main reason why.
But I think y'all staying has probably made a difference there
yeah,
too. You
that's
know?
True. Yeah.
You've never missed the postseason. And as of the website's update, you've
yep.
been named the coach of the year at KWC twice.
Ooh.
So, I mean, very successful. And what do you attribute that success to? Like, what do you think have been the keys to that?
Yeah, I think a huge part of it is obviously the young women that have been able to play in our program, that have decided to choose Wesleyan and mm-hmm. choose to play in our program. So, I mean, they're obviously the number one reason. I think the other reason is too, is that I think that young women are, they want to be a part of a family, you know, they want to be part of something. And us as husband and wife, we can really provide that, you know, opportunity for them to feel confident and comfortable that they got another set of, you know, parents. And we're not their parents, but yeah. we're similar to their parents, especially now.
You're the parents here. yeah. For real.
So I think that both of those things, just having great young women to that want to compete here. And you know, I think we also really know what we want. You know, how we're going to play, what type of women we want in our program. And we're really honest about that. And, you know, so if players want to be the star and they want to score all these points, well, they're not going to like it here, you know, and we tell them that. And so you've got to want to come in and play the way we play. And I think that all that, just being honest and upfront with them, I think they know what they're getting into. Yeah. So,
and I will say there is a difference between the women's basketball team and other women on campus. And I mean, the Neimans y'all have done such a good job of building that family like atmosphere. But I've, you know, from an outsider's perspective, I feel like y'all are really intentional about caring about those women beyond just basketball. Mm-hmm. I know y'all do like, don't y'all have them read certain books yeah. and do journaling? Will yeah. you tell us a little bit about like how do you develop them outside mm-hmm. of basketball? Because I think yeah. that's so important that you invest in them like that.
Yeah. Well, for us, we try to make the game something fun. You know, they play the game. They've been playing the game since they've been little because it's been fun, something they've loved to do. So we try to keep it that way. But we also try to keep it in perspective that it is just a game. It's not an end all be all when we lose a game, you know, and they need to know that, or if they don't perform well, that their life isn't over, you know, right. And they need to have something beyond basketball. You know, this is going to end for them. So we want to know, what do they want to do beyond basketball? Who do they want to be? And so I think that those things, the books are just a way for us to be able to talk about something outside of basketball, so that we can connect and really get to know each other outside of just playing a game. Mm-hmm. And then the journaling is just so that we have a way of inside information on what they're thinking, making sure that we're all on the same page. And, you know, it's just another way to communicate without having individual meetings every day, yeah. That we can get through those journals and communicate with them that way. So I just think it's a way to just connect with them. They just want to be connected. And again, they're the right types of women that want to be about other people. And so as long as you have that, I think it just makes it a fun atmosphere to be in.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be on your team.
I know. I, you know, and maybe you would know this maybe better than I would. I think that's maybe the difference in coaching college women and college men, is that I think we're just naturally have the inclination to want that community mm-hmm. and to want that development.
Yeah.
So I just find that really impressive.
Very. It's,
you know, yeah. I've worked with several women's basketball coaches over my career, in higher education. And that's the first time I've heard of just the investment that y'all have in them. Mm. As
well,
whole people.
We've thought about coaching men, and I would maybe someday would like to do it just yeah. to see if it would work on their side.
Yeah. yeah.
Do what we do on their side of yeah. things. You know, I think these days we definitely need some strong men, yeah. you yes. know, leading us and being a part of our society. And so I do think that it becomes more of it's an end all be all. A game is an end all be all on the guy's side.
Yeah.
And I would like to see if we could coach guys who are super athletic, that I mean, we really like athleticism, so
yeah.
and then to be able to put a little bit of a family atmosphere in that and see what would happen.
Yeah,
that would be magic. Yeah. I think
it was maybe someday. I don't know.
Someday. Don't leave me. Wait till I leave. Okay. What have you enjoyed most about your role in coaching college women, and then what have you found most challenging?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us and for me is just being able to be around these 18 to 22 year olds that are trying to figure out what they want to do. And then for, especially these days, for these young women to stick by who they want to be,
yeah.
And not float, you know, not go with the flow, not go with what's popular or not go with, you know, like it's they just have decided to choose who they want to be and stick to it. And I think that's inspirational. I think that that's, I don't know how I would handle today's world as a 20-year-old.
Right.
And to think about all of the stuff that's thrown at them. So that to us is really inspirational for me. The challenging part for me is just feeling like you're not going to let them down.
Yeah.
You know, we got a game tomorrow, you know, and you feel like you don't want to let them down. And that's the biggest thing is just finding ways to not let them down.
So then your daughter, Lily,
yes.
Which is crazy to me. Just when I first got here, she was like this little girl. Aww. And then at that basketball game a couple of weeks ago, yeah. I was like, why is she so grown? Tell us about your daughter, Lily. Just tell us about mm-hmm. her in general. And then how have you included her with the basketball team?
Well, she has definitely grown up on the court. Yeah. We literally had her. She's been in a walker on the court.
Oh my goodness,
you know, those front packs that yeah. you put your kid in. That's what she did for a long time. And our players made fun of us all the time for that. They'd wear their backpacks and stuff, pillows in there and, you know, pretend that
like
they were us.
You.
Yeah. So she's definitely grown up in it. I mean, she was a week old and she was in the office already. So, cause we got the head job right when we had her. So it kind of went hand in hand. Like you just go.
Yeah.
So, and then you want her to be around these young women. You know, for her, she doesn't have any siblings. You know, she's not going to have any siblings. So for her to be able to have a bunch of sisters that yeah. she's really looked up to for a long time is really been magical for us, mm-hmm. To have that opportunity for her. So our players have always been people we want her to be around. Mm-hmm. So she's getting older now, so she's not around as much. Cause she's got her own thing. But like today she came to practice, yeah. you know, so she loves game days. She loves that opportunity. So, and I think she's getting to learn a lot from them and just watching how they interact, how they respond and all of those important skills that we can't necessarily teach as a parent.
Yeah.
Well, so she 13?
She's 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she's like she hands out the water bottles yeah, and like yeah. is on the sidelines
so
during the
nice.
Game.
I love that.
Yeah,
so
she loves
it.
Fun
to watch.
She loves all of it. Yep.
But it's been fun to watch her grow mm-hmm. into that. So, but she's really into soccer.
Is she
a basketball player at all?
She was. But she really, really likes soccer. And we like her liking soccer.
That's great.
I think she gets enough of basketball and she's
yeah.
tired of mom and dad telling her what to do all the time. So soccer's her little outlet that
yeah.
she gets
yeah.
to go figure out. And soccer and basketball are pretty similar. So she's figuring out how we can still help her with soccer, although
yeah.
she doesn't necessarily want to hear it all the time. But Owensboro's been great for soccer. I mean, you know, for her to have Ty Stauffer, you know, women's mm-hmm. coach here and her and his daughter, they run a program in town. It's an indoor soccer throughout the winter. And just the amount of soccer opportunities that she's been able to have in a larger but small community has been really, really helpful for her.
Yeah. That's so funny.
I would
think it would be less pressure to play a sport that my parents didn't coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
like,
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, if I was going to play basketball, I'd have to be like the best basketball
right,
player
right.
ever.
Everybody yeah. be asking. And they do. They ask her all the time, do you play basketball? You
yeah.
know, and she's like, no, I play soccer. You know, so that you're constantly getting that, you know, well, what are you going to do if you play basketball? You know, so I think she was just kind of done with it and
yeah.
wanted to do the soccer
she
thing.
She probably just wants to be like, I know a little bit more about it than you.
Right.
Mom and
right.
Dad.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah. She definitely likes to know more.
So she's in seventh?
She's in eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Yeah,
wow.
Getting ready for high school next year.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
It's crazy. It's scary, but we're excited for her. She's a great kid. She is, and I'm not saying that just because I'm her mom, but she's really independent, grown up. She's always been mature, so I think she's going to handle herself well.
How do you, like, with y'all's schedule with
mm-hmm.
practices and games and travel,
mm-hmm.
like, and you know, she's not to an age where she's driving yet,
right.
but she has her own stuff going on. How
right.
do y'all manage and balance all of those
yeah,
things?
Yeah, that's the awesome part of Owensboro. For the first 5 years, we were down here with no family of her life. And so we had our Kentucky grandma. Mm-hmm. It really was a booster, an older lady, Jean Owen. That took,
Jean.
Yeah, yes. she works in the bookstore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or not, it's not bookstore now, but
the
whatever.
Panthers.
is.
Yeah, yeah. Spirit shop.
Yeah. So she really, honestly, she pretty much raised her. You know, we had her over there from, you know, Wednesdays to Saturday evenings or Sunday mornings. And she just really, really helped us. And then Kayla's parents moved down.
Okay.
They're retired. And so they moved down to Owensboro, and they've been here ever since she went to kindergarten. So okay. It's that they raise her as well.
Does she go on away games with y'all? Like, does she travel with y'all?
She does. She gets one travel day a year. Like, we allow her to go once.
Oh, okay.
In a season. So it just kind of depends on where it falls. But she'll go to like a Trevecca game or something on a Saturday. Yeah. But she's always asked for the conference tournament. That's been her ask. So that's the one that she's been able to go to.
That's fun. All right. So you are one of the few female head coaches at KWC. And I believe for a while there, you were the only female head coach, despite the fact that we have so many women's sports at Kentucky Wesleyan. What have you learned from working in a male dominated area? And what advice would you give to another female in a similar situation?
Yeah, I grew up with my brother and cousins and his friends. So I've been in that, you know, being around guys all the time. So it's really a comfort zone for me. So I don't know what it's like to not be around them, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's been great. I think that they really allow, and I know I'm their only female that's around them, but I think that they really allow me to be me. I don't think that there's any expectation or a certain way or a certain thing or anything, you know, like I think they respect me just as much as they respect, you know, Caleb or anybody else doing their job. So, and my advice to anybody who wants to do it, go do it. I think guys are great. I think that we can learn from them and they can learn from us. And yeah. I mean, I think, probably the thing that drives me nuts the most is they're just unorganized, you know, or dirty,
yes.
You know,
and all of this. Yeah.
So the lack of organization and dirtiness that are around, you know, but, other than that, I think it's been great.
Yeah.
I'm a Googler. But I looked at like the other women's basketball coaches in the GMAC in our conference, and it seems to be, there's just as many, if not more, female head coaches for women's basketball.
Right,
now. Has that always been the case? Or are you seeing more female head coaches?
There's more, but I think in the GMAC, we're all smaller schools.
Yeah.
So I think that there has been more females just in the GMAC in our conference in comparison to maybe some other conferences. But it's definitely the trend. The trend is going that way. I mean, I think it's pretty much... it's pretty much a done deal. Like, if you're a female, you're going to get more looked at than being a male.
Yeah. Do you, Kim Mulkey
mm-hmm.
at LSU,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with, like, are you going to start wearing those glitter coats?
No,
or like
never.
Doing that?
Oh, I feel like I've seen pictures.
Bayou
she's
Barbie.
Probably very
yes.
dressed
yes.
to the nines.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then,
yeah.
Is it Angel picture. Reese, her
yeah.
player? I would
yeah,
love
you're
to know
good.
How Nicole Neiman would deal with an
that
Angel
That wouldn't be
Reese.
Happening on
I
our court.
I was about to say, I know she's just sort of known for her outbursts and attitude
yeah.
and
oh.
very... I think the difference between her and your players is she is very all about self, at
right.
least from my perspective, and promoting
right.
herself. And
right.
I just, I don't see that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that wouldn't last under the Neimans.
No, no. And Caitlin Clark, kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, though, because I do think that they're amazing players and they could really raise the game in a really cool way. And,
yeah.
and I do think they're obviously elevating the game, but I just wish it was done in a different manner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is Caitlin Clark, Iowa State,
Iowa.
Or is it Iowa? It's
just
Iowa.
Iowa yeah.
She was running off the court the other day in Ohio State.
Yes.
It was Ohio State beat them, and she like collided
Ran
with a player,
it.
And she did the biggest Duke flop I had ever
you
seen.
You're exactly
now,
right.
Because I think her feelings were hurt from losing to Ohio
right,
State.
Right.
But I'm sure it was a little bit of a shock to have somebody run into you. But
yeah.
she like threw herself on the ground.
Yeah,
and was, like,
a little
very
dramatic.
And I was like, you should go play for Duke.
Very extra.
But have you seen like, sorry, and this wasn't on the questions I sent you. Have
That's
you
okay.
seen a change in the support for women's basketball or women's sports? Are you seeing any attitudes change towards that? Or
well, I do think that it's definitely being televised more than it ever has been.
Yeah.
I think that there's more opportunities for people to be able to see the game,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool. I think that the unfortunate part of that is I don't think that the skills are necessarily being taught as well. So it's more of a show than it is the
yeah.
skill, which is unfortunate. But I do think that there's more awareness of the game. And I think they've done some things as far as the rules are concerned to make the game be played faster. And I guess more clean and things like, you know, just being able to play a faster game. I think that that's helped as far as the interest level.
This may be of no interest to any of our listeners but me, but at what, when did women's college basketball go to a quarters instead of halves, and why? Because yeah. men still play halves.
Yeah, you're right.
But women have 8-minute quarters now.
Right. 10-minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. 10 minutes.
Yep. Well, they went to it probably only about maybe 3 years ago. Okay. They used to be halves. They went to the quarters because that's what the international, like the FIBA, the international rules, the professional leagues all do that. So the NBA does quarters, and the WNBA does quarters, right. and the international game does quarters. So they put our game to quarters to match that.
Okay.
They also felt like it would speed the game up as well.
I was wondering if it had to do with any of that.
Trying to play it faster. I think the guys will get there probably within a year or two.
Really?
Yeah, that they'll go quarters.
Sorry, I know that's probably not the general listener might not pay attention. But I was like, I went to a game once and I was like, wait, why
is happening?
Quarter? Like, I just hadn't paid attention. And all of a sudden it happened. So, all right. So in a completely different topic area, I know that you're a breast cancer survivor.
Yes.
What would you like to share with us about that experience, and how has it changed your approach to life since that?
Yeah, it was definitely a shock. I was 36 when I was diagnosed. I just think that for me, it was, again, Owensboro is an amazing community. I mean, to be able to go get your treatments here in town and not have to miss work and miss your opportunities. And I really didn't have a tough time. I was not sick a lot. They know exactly what you're going to go through in it. It's amazing. I mean, the nurse,
did you have chemo?
Yep. The nurses will tell you, like, you're going to feel not very good in 3 days, and this is how you're going to feel. And, you know, like, they, and to a T, they knew exactly what you were going to go through. So, I went through it during season. I actually had chemo from January until, March of my season, and I didn't miss a thing.
Wow.
Again, I think it's the treatments. I think it's, you know, how they do things these days. And I was caught early. So it wasn't, as aggressive as probably a lot of treatments need to be. So.
Was it caught during like a normal exam?
I caught it myself.
Okay.
Yep. I just felt a lump. And sometimes you just ignore them and you think, yeah, whatever, you know. So, but I did. I took it into the doctor and I said, you know, I don't know what this is, you know. So they checked it out, and I think it's instinct. I think you know, like I felt like I knew. I mean, I told Caleb before I was diagnosed. I said, I think it's cancer, and he's like, there's no way it's cancer, you know. And I'm like, I think it is, you know. What are we gonna do, you know? So you go through that. That role before you even really know.
Yeah.
And I was diagnosed in December of 2014, I think. Okay. Yeah, 2014. So Lily was 4 at the time.
Wow.
That was my biggest concern, was her just being, you know, in that such a little age, and I didn't want to be sick. And so that was the biggest concern that I had. And luckily I wasn't. God didn't make me sick. So I wasn't sick. She really didn't even know. She knows now. Mm-hmm. It's nothing I've told her.
Yeah.
So she must have figured it out from somehow,
just
somewhere. I don't know. I don't know if her cousins are all older than her. So her cousins knew that I had cancer. So I don't know if that's how she's found out.
Yeah.
She's never asked me about it. I've never talked to her about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to scare her or, you know, make her think anything. So it is interesting though that she does know, because she actually asked me the other day something about when I had cancer, and that was like the first time she's actually even said it. So,
wow. Yeah.
But things I learned is just time, like how valuable time is. Mm-hmm. I think before I used to really get caught up in work or caught up in what I was going to do or, you know, just some not important things. And now it's more, who do we want to spend our time with? What are we going to do? You know, every year we want to make sure we do something with Lily and, you know, just make more valuable of our time than just, oh, what are we going to do for work? You know, well, that's not that important these days.
So you work with your husband.
Yes.
and I know how that is, but in a job that seems like it could be all consuming,
especially,
I mean, because y'all, people think, I think, just the season, but when y'all aren't in season, you're recruiting, you're traveling for that, you're, you know, tournaments and camps and stuff, I'm sure, all over the place. So how do you take care of yourself, your marriage, your family and yeah. work with your husband? Because I would like this advice personally. But.
Well, you know how it is. For us, this is what we've done. Even when we taught, we were teaching in the same building, and we're high school sweethearts. So since 16 years old, he's been around. So it's kind of we've obviously have grown up together. But so that part is not a big deal. The biggest part to us is that it becomes all consuming. That it's all you talk about is basketball. It's all are your players or you know anything that is work. So for us, Lily has helped out a lot. We really try to get into her soccer and get into what she's doing and really find more importance in what she's doing than it is what we're doing. So that's helped us. I take care of myself pretty good from about March until October. And then after that, I don't do very good.
Because you're like a really healthy eater.
I try, but during these months, it's all falls apart. So, and then you got to bring it back around after seasons. But, and that helps, you know, being active and going to do something and you feel like you're doing something for you. And, yeah, it's definitely not easy from October to March.
Yeah, I would wonder about that. Yeah. Do you sleep?
I do. I sleep really good.
Okay.
I have no problem sleeping. Yeah.
Well, you know, in the last year or so, in like my own personal journey, I didn't realize how much sleep affects just
everything.
It sounds really stupid, but like sleep really affects like overall
life,
health, like weight loss, you know, like all of those kind of things.
Well, like you have a young one. Like now ours is independent. So it's so much easier now. Like when they're young, it's like
it's hard. Oh,
whoa, you don't sleep, and then you feel exhausted over and over and over again.
Yeah. Well, I had the conversation with a student today because he was complaining. I was like, "You look so tired," and he was like, "Oh, I don't go to sleep till 3 a.m. or whatever." And I was like, "My problem isn't going to sleep; it's staying asleep."
Yeah.
Like it's the up and down during the night. So I can't wait until Asher is 13.
I know, like the cries or the worries, or I mean, you're just in that constant. I feel like you're always on. Like you don't sleep because you're fearful of something. Something's going to happen. You're constantly aware
of. They're going to stay next to your bed and scare the crap out of you.
Yes.
Mommy.
Right.
Channing does that occasionally and I'm like, holy.
Yeah. And it's usually when you're in your deepest sleep too. Like you're finally found some good solid sleep and they're the ones tapping you on the shoulder. Like, okay, I guess we're not doing this today.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is something that you're proud of that you have done or accomplished that has nothing to do with work?
I think our marriage, it's hard, you know, like to decide to be with somebody for a long time is hard. And there's a lot of people not deciding to do that, you know? So that's what that's what we try to, you know, give out, I guess, to our kids. And I call our players our kids, just the importance of commitment, like find people that you really enjoy being with because there's nothing like it. You know, there's some yuck. But man, when you get past that yuck, there's nothing like it, you know, to be able to know that somebody's always going to be there. So I think that, and I think that's helped Lily and you know, her life. And I just think it's super important.
So who are some women who've inspired you? Or if you don't want to name any specific women, what qualities in women in your life have inspired you?
Yeah, I think a lot of our players have inspired me. They have. And I obviously can't say their names because then other people will get upset that my name wasn't said.
So they can all assume that you're talking about them.
14 years or 13 years. Yeah.
So, you know, 14 years times 13 kids every year. So I just think that their willingness to do themselves, I think, is just inspirational. I think that whether it's in their faith or whether it's in their career or whether it's in basketball or coming in every day and working hard, I mean, there's so many. I just feel like today's society and kids and where people can go, I think it's unique. Yeah. And so to find those young women that are willing to stick to themselves and decide to do those things, whether it be work hard every day or have a smile on their face every day or find the good or, you know, their faith or whatever it is for them, I just feel like that stuff is just... I think it's unique and I try my best to root for them and cheer for them and let them know to keep doing that because I think that's what we need. I think we need more people wanting to stick by what they want to be.
So what characteristic of yours are you most proud of?
Oh,
this is the final official question.
Yeah. probably commitment, I think. I think just staying committed to what you say you're going to do and stick to it. And I just think commitment is a big deal. You know, I think being able to go through some trials and tribulations in life is important to your growth, and then being able to stick to what you decide you're going to do through that. I think that that's some good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's shown obviously in y'all's record compared to all the other, you know, just 290 D2 women's basketball coaches. But even, you know, when you're talking about, you know, during your chemo treatment, you were still like
working,
doing your job.
You're crazy.
Some of us would be like, okay, this is my opportunity to sort of lay back.
Check out
and
for
like
a minute.
Do
yeah.
me. But
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's commitment. That's true commitment right there. Wow. Sure.
Well, I remember one time early on in the treatment when your body's, you know, getting used to it, I remember going into practice and I couldn't see, like everything was just kind of blurry. And so I went to Caleb. I was like, I said, you got to do it. I said, I can't see. I don't know what they're doing right now. And he's like, oh, it's all right. It's all right. You know? Yeah. But I think that was like about it. I mean, there was definitely low days where you just didn't feel good. Yeah. But you learn how to kind of manage those days. But it was, I, the biggest thing for cancer with me is I just never want anybody to feel bad for me. I think that was that's why we don't talk about it much. That's why we don't, you know, you just don't want anybody to feel bad for you, you know, because there's people that had it a whole lot worse than what I've ever had it. So
you're a badass.
I was going to say, can we talk about like beast mode over here?
Like, Nicole Neiman, put her on the list.
So cool.
Listen, I don't know. I've never seen you get one. Do you get technical fouls ever? Like, does Nicole Neiman, you're so even keeled.
So
I know. She's so even keeled. Like, I would get kicked out of so many games if I were a coach.
You and Matt.
Does Caleb get fired up, like, of the two of you?
We've definitely calmed over the years. I think he's had two technicals in his 14 seasons. One, just because both of them actually came from him just stomping his foot.
Oh,
so not saying anything. Yeah, just kind of a stomp of a foot that the ref didn't like. But yeah, we just, again, we try to model what we want them to be out on the court. And if we're losing our cool, then they're going to lose their cool. And we don't want them to lose their cool. So we have to kind of model what we expect. So that's what we try.
I mean, you're my age, but I want to be you. Also, how do you coach in heels?
Yeah, I don't have to stand up.
I can't just walk with him normal.
Yeah,
so
I tell you, by the time we get into the locker room after a game, they're off.
Okay.
I know nobody knows that, but I'm taking them off, and we're talking in there after a game, and all the girls are like, you couldn't do it. I said, I couldn't do it any longer. Yeah. Like my feet are done.
Okay, that's good to know, because I'm always, every time I'm like, man, she's like dressed up nice and in those shoes, and I just don't know how she does it, because I couldn't walk down this hallway.
Now, especially the older I get, it's like awful. Like, even at so that night, now my feet hurt. And whereas before, they never did that. But now it's like, wow, that's not good.
So impressive. Yeah, I'm gonna get you a Kim Mulkey like sparkly coat, and then you're gonna feel bad and you have to wear it. So it'll be purple.
It'll
Don't
be
worry.
A gift
Can't
that I have to wear.
Really nice. Can't wait to see that.
So, well, I know that you're in the middle of season right now, and even by the time this comes out, you'll still be in season.
Yeah.
I don't know when. Yeah. You know, I don't know if it'll be postseason yet. But thank you for taking the time.
Well, thank you. Thank you, ladies, very much.
Yeah.
I'm excited
to
you all.
Well,
what you're
I'm
doing.
Excited for more people in Owensboro to get to know you.
Absolutely.
In addition to like just seeing you on the sidelines. So thank you, Nicole, very much. Nicole's former player, Jennifer Walker Crawford, tells us why she thinks Nicole is an inspiration.
So I'm very grateful to be able to share something that I find super inspiring about Coach Nicole. I think the number one thing that I find inspiring about Coach Nicole is her resilience. So my sophomore year, we found out that Coach Nicole had breast cancer. And, you know, of course, all of us were scared. And it was a shock. However, there was not a second that I doubted, and I think that any of us doubted, that she wouldn't beat the cancer. And that's because we saw in her actions and from her stories and her coaching on and off the court that she contains so much resilience. People have every reason to give up and give in and fold and not want to fight when you're faced with something like cancer, but that's the exact opposite of what Coach Nicole did. And that type of resilience to continue being a wife, a mom, a coach, and being the best version of all of those people is exactly what she did. And that's extremely inspiring and a testament to her absolute resilience. And that is one of the many things that I find very inspiring about Coach Nicole.